Hello, I'm Trey Marone, and welcome to the West Virginia Educast. Today, we're discussing something that affects just about every governmental meeting you've attended, the agenda. County board meetings have an agenda. It seems like a very simple thing. However, protocols, procedures, policies, and even laws play an important role in how an agenda is developed and utilized at a county board meeting. I think many of our listeners might be surprised to know how many times my colleagues and I have addressed questions on this topic alone. Joining me today is a man who has been a mainstay in West Virginia education law for over 40 years, Howard Zuffer. Howard is a senior member of the Bowles Rice Education Law Group, where he brings a wealth of experience and knowledge that he uses to counsel clients, but to also serve as a mentor to our group. He is frequently engaged as a presenter, panelist, and writer on school law issues, emphasizing practical, preventive advice for education leaders and administrators. Howard is a longtime member of the National School Board Association's Council of School Attorneys and serves as West Virginia's liaison to the council. He is also the co-founder of our Signature Series workshops that have provided instruction to hundreds of public school administrators over two decades. In addition to all the hats Howard wears on a daily basis, he is very involved with community service and philanthropy. Howard serves as the Emeritus Director and past chair for the Education Alliance and has served on various boards that have focused on diversity, special needs, equality, and inclusion. Howard was also named as a West Virginia Executive Sharpshooter in 2018. On top of all of his contributions and accolades, Howard is an active volunteer reader with Read Aloud West Virginia. And I'll finish by saying Howard is a very good friend. Welcome, Howard.
Thank you, Trey, and likewise.
Hey, you know, we could just jump right into it here today. I mentioned that, you know, the main topic here is going to be agendas, but what do we mean by an agenda and what's its purpose?
The agenda is the roadmap for a public body's meeting, and here we're talking about county boards of education. It regulates what's going to happen at the meeting, and it informs the board members who will be attending the meeting and members of the public and the news media what it is that the board's going to do. So the agenda is a written document. It lists all the items of business that the board is going to consider at its meeting or that it's going to discuss, and it is written in a way that reasonably notifies the public of what each of those items involves. So if you as a citizen are interested in attending a meeting on a certain issue and you're watching the agendas to see if it comes up, you'll recognize it when it's on the roadmap for an upcoming Board of Education meeting. So that's what the agenda is. It regulates what's going to happen at the meeting.
It's kind of like an advertisement. Is that fair to say? An advertisement of what should be expected.
It is. It's like looking at the program for the concert you're going to and see what number is going to be played and when the, you know, are we going to take an intermission? And that's exactly right. It's to alert the public and invite interested people to tune in to things that the board's going to either discuss or take action on.
This agenda, when should it or must it be developed and, I guess, advertised?
The West Virginia legislature many years ago adopted the Open Governmental Proceedings Act, some people think of as the Sunshine Law. And a purpose of that law was to throw open the drapes in dark rooms where decisions were made by some public bodies back in the 60s and 70s so that the sunshine flooded the room and the public could see what their elected representatives were doing. And the act, as part of that effort, required that before every meeting of a public body, it must give notice to the public and the news media of where the meeting is going to be held, what date it's going to be held, at what time, and notice of the agenda for that meeting. And in this agenda, like we've just described, the open meetings law requires that agenda be posted a certain number of days before the meeting occurs. And by posted, I mean made available to the public and the news media. And it has two rules in there. One is, if a public body regularly meets two times a month or less, then the agenda must be posted at least three business days before the meeting occurs, made available to the public and the news media. If the public body is one that meets more often than twice a month, then it must be made available to the public and news media 2 days before the meeting. And so the question of when should the agenda be developed really depends upon those deadlines for posting the agenda, and then how much time before that is needed to come up with the items of business and the language of the agenda so that the Board of Education, in this case, can meet the requirement of releasing it to the public and the news media either 3 business days or 2 business days before the meeting occurs.
So are those the regular meetings? If you have regular meetings scheduled, you know, the 2 times versus more, because sometimes, you know, you have a reason to call a special meeting. Is it the regular meetings that you would be looking at to determine if it's 2 or 3 days?
Well, for regular meetings, and that's a good point, school boards and a lot of other entities establish a schedule for their meetings for the upcoming year well in advance. School boards are accustomed to meeting on Tuesdays for some reason, either once or twice a month. And for those regular meetings, the agenda must be made available to the public and the news media at least 3 business days in advance for those bodies that meet 2 times a month or less. For a special meeting, the agenda or the call of the meeting is determined in the law, which just means the written document that describes what's going to be considered at the meeting. For a special meeting, it must be made available to the public and news media 2 business days before the meeting. And that 2-day deadline for posting notice of what's going to happen at a special meeting also applies to those boards that meet more often than twice a month. So there's the same deadline in the case of special meetings, 2 business days before the special meeting occurs. That agenda, what's going to happen at the meeting, needs to be made available to the public and the news media. Whereas in the case of regular meetings, if the school board or body meet 2 times a month or less, it must be posted at least 3 business days before the meeting. If it meets more often than that in regular session, then it must be posted 2 days before the meeting.
So in my experience, as you know, I served as a county board president for a few years. In my experience, the county board president and the county superintendent styled the agenda, drafted it up. Should there be a county board policy concerning who develops the agenda?
You know, that's certainly an option and probably a best practice. Many boards, in my experience, simply operate on past practice, and they don't really have a written policy about how the agenda is developed. And that past practice frequently involves the collaboration between the president of the Board of Education and the superintendent. But there's nothing in the school laws of West Virginia that requires the agenda to be developed that way. That's just something that a lot of boards have worked out over the years. Boards that have policies about agendas sometimes make that same provision that the agenda shall be prepared by the board president and the superintendent of schools. But sometimes they also talk about the rights of other members of the board to give input to that process by suggesting items for the agenda. I don't know if it still exists, but I know a number of years ago, I saw a policy adopted by a board on that topic, which said that the superintendent and the board president shall compose the agenda for a board meeting, but that any 2 board members could together ask that a particular item be on the agenda, in which case it had to be on the agenda. It was sort of like if there were 2 members that were in favor of it, that board felt like there was enough support that that ought to be on the agenda. Whereas if it's just 1 board member, it might be their own specific concern that nobody else on the board thinks it's worth the time to talk about at a meeting. And so it took 2 people. Mm-hmm. And I guess the lesson of all that is that the board is the master of its agenda. This is the roadmap for the board's meeting. And so the board is responsible for determining how the agenda is prepared. If it defaults and just allows past practice to govern, I suppose that's fine. But a board can certainly adopt a policy. And there are probably as many different ways for a policy like that to read, to be sure that the agenda is written in a manner satisfactory to the majority of the board, as one can imagine. The boards have it within their power, if they wish to, as part of their meetings policy or a separate policy, to spell out and specify how items will get on the agenda.
You know, I worked with, I think, 5 different superintendents, and I don't ever remember there being any struggle about the agenda. And it was, you used a good word, collaboration. And really, it came to me already drafted up. I looked at it, I might say, hey, what about this? We meant to put this, or didn't we say we're going to put this on the agenda, that kind of thing. And, you know, it was really a collaboration. And both the superintendent and I, you know, had to feel comfortable with it. And then it was sent to be published. And we likewise had the, you know, the if we actually, it was three board members, I believe, is the way we operated, wanted someone on agenda. But actually, two makes good sense because if the motion and a second are made, you know, then you, you know, get some discussion going. So that makes sense too. So good idea to have a policy to make those things clear, you know, for a county. So items, we kind of talked about items getting on the agenda, but what if the county board president and the county superintendent just won't place an item on the agenda? Let's say even two members, I mean, what can be done there?
Well, there are actually two primary ways to address a situation like that. One is that if the board being master of its agenda, the board, by a vote of a majority of the board members, direct that an item be placed on the agenda. So if in the unlikely case that a board member suggested something be placed on the agenda and it never was, they made a suggestion again and it never was, they finally got frustrated enough, I suppose the board member could move at a meeting that they put that item be placed on the agenda of the next meeting or an upcoming meeting. But then that, like everything else that comes before a board, has to be approved by a majority of the board members in attendance at the meeting. So if there are five members of a board, a quorum is three members. If all five members are there, you'd have to have three members vote to approve that directive that something be placed on the agenda, in which case it would have to be placed on the agenda. Another alternative, and again, these types of disagreements rarely erupt, but when they do, they're really important to the people that wish to have something placed on the agenda. Another alternative is that the law allows three board members to call a special meeting of the Board of Education, even if the other two don't wish to. Of course, the president also has the ability to call a special meeting all by his or herself of the Board of Education. So it's either the president or three board members calling a special meeting. And when a special meeting is called by three members, they have to specify in what we call the call of the meeting what it is that's going to be considered at that special meeting. So a board member that's anxious about the fact that something they wish to see on the agenda of a regular meeting just never appeared on the agenda could try to interest two other board members in calling a special meeting to address that specific point. And that would be included in the call of the meeting. And if three board members did that, then under the school laws, there would have to be a special meeting at the board, the business of which would be limited to what was specified in the call of the meeting.
Yeah, I mean, you've covered a lot of ground there on, you know, the ownership of the agenda, the process to be followed, and kind of those different, you know, matters that might come into play when developing that agenda. You know, for example, let's say the superintendent and the board president are talking. They say, hey, that's just off limits. You know, we just can't discuss some sort of alleged school employee matter or a fiscal matter or other issue. It's off limits for some reason in the superintendent's and the board president's mind. You've described, a method that perhaps three board members could call a special meeting and establish agenda to discuss those items.
Yes, they could. And that's not to say that if this managed to get on the agenda of a regular meeting or was the topic of a special meeting, this isn't to say that once the meeting arrived and they were at the meeting, that given the sensitivity of a personnel matter, for example, that the board couldn't choose to go into executive session under the open meetings law to discuss it. If it's one of those exceptions to the open meetings law where a board is allowed to go into executive session, and typically if the board president or the superintendent felt that something was off limits or was inappropriate to be on a board agenda, it might involve a matter that is a justification for going into executive session where the concern could be aired outside of an environment, a public environment, where they might be embarrassing somebody or harming their reputation by discussing, maybe it's a matter of rumors that were heard about something that a board employee has done, and we don't know if it's true or not. That's maybe the reason the superintendent hesitated and the board president even put it on the agenda. If it made it there or it made it to a special meeting, the point is the board could still go into an executive session and discuss it in a setting where they weren't publicly talking about rumors.
Mm-hmm. Well, you made a good point, I think, earlier too. The superintendent, you know, is the most knowledgeable person about the day-to-day operation of the school system. And of course, the board president doesn't have that day-to-day insight and knowledge, but you know they do have to run the meeting. So it is really good to have that collaboration between the two. And of course, any board president needs to be aware of its membership and you know, how the group wants to see things done. And so those are all good tips on how to approach those kind of areas that might get a little bit touchy. I mean, I can recall having a board member who insisted certain items be put on an agenda that just really weren't appropriate. And I didn't agree with it, but I didn't let it in there. I said, hey, I said, you know, if there's a couple other board members that would like to have this on the agenda as well, just let me know and we'll put it on the agenda. But I already kind of knew that from other conversations that nobody else was in tune with that. So it ended up not on the agenda, but the superintendent didn't want it on there either. So those situations do arise, although I do think they're not very common, at least not in my experience. They may be in other counties. But now we've got the agenda established. It's been advertised. Now we're at the board meeting. Can a school board at that meeting decide to add items to the agenda?
Typically, no. And that ties back into the open meetings law, the Sunshine Law. It says that once you have posted or made available to the public and news media the agenda for an upcoming meeting, you can amend it. It's up until 2 business days before the meeting occurs. And when you amend it, you actually put it out again to the public and the news media saying, we've amended, we've added something or taken something away from the agenda of the meeting that's upcoming. Once you pass that deadline, you can't amend the agenda further. So that would include not being able at a meeting to add something to the agenda. Again, think about the open meetings law. Its purpose, which is stated at the outset of the law itself, is to alert interested members of the public to what the board will be doing at an upcoming meeting. So if they wish to have input or to attend the meeting, they have time to make childcare arrangements or whatever they need to do to get there. If we add things to the agenda while we're at the meeting, it would frustrate that purpose. And so the law absolutely prohibits a Board of Education from adding items to its agenda after that 2-day deadline for finalizing and making any amendments to the agenda. The only exception would be in a true emergency. And the open meetings law defines an emergency in a way that this is a dire thing that absolutely came in after the deadline for posting the agenda and has to be addressed, or else their personal injury could occur, or major damage to property, or a big hit to the school system's finances unless we act tonight. We can't even wait 2 days to call a special meeting. That rarely happens.
Yeah.
But that would be the one exception, would be that if an emergency like that were to develop between when the last moment expired to amend the agenda and the beginning of the meeting, then that could be added to the agenda as an emergency matter. And even then, the board is required to give as much notice to the public and news media as it can, even if it's half an hour before the meeting, we find out we have an emergency, so that there's some chance that people who wish to be there can be there.
Well, you know, recently I had a situation that I was really impressed with the board. It was actually the vice president in this county. You know, the president was out, but you know, there was a question that came up and the agenda hadn't been worded. It was really, I mean, one might say it was a typo, but the way the agenda read was kind of the opposite of what the board intended to address that evening. And there was discussion about trying to amend that at the night of the meeting. And she quickly said, no, that's not the way it was advertised. You know, so I think we should just leave it as is and then we can take it up at a later meeting. And I was really impressed with her taking that approach. And it sounds like that's very consistent with what you just said. You just can't really, shouldn't do that unless it's an emergency.
The bottom line is that a board cannot at a meeting discuss or take action on anything that isn't on the agenda that was published or made available to the public and the news media by the deadline. If it does, if in spite of that rule, somebody adds something to the agenda the night of the meeting and it wasn't a true emergency, the open meetings law has all kinds of penalties for that. If the board proceeds to take action on an item that was improperly added to the agenda, a court case can be filed where the judge can nullify any action the board took on that item because it violated the open meetings law to even consider the matter that wasn't on the agenda, you know, at least 2 days before the meeting occurred. The board can be made to pay the attorney's fees of whoever successfully brings such a lawsuit. And it's actually a misdemeanor crime for a school board member to participate knowingly in a violation of the open meetings law. So you can actually be convicted of a misdemeanor if somebody chose it. And sometimes people get impassioned enough about an issue. Somebody were to swear out a criminal complaint, you could have a criminal record, a criminal misdemeanor conviction. Fortunately, you don't go to jail for that, but you can have a fine of up to $500 for the first offense and up to $1,000 for each subsequent offense. And that's a fine and a conviction against the individual board members who participated in doing that. So we pay very close attention to what's on the agenda and what's happening at the meeting, and we don't add things to the agenda. Some of these school boards, and there's nothing really wrong with it, but I see that the first order of business at a meeting is to approve the agenda.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm sorry, the agenda had to be out there at least 2 days ago. So you're approving it or not approving it makes no difference in terms of what's on it. Now, there is no requirement that if something is on the agenda that you actually address it at the board meeting. And from time to time, and it might have happened during your tenure on the Wayne County Board of Education, Trey, that there's something on the agenda that because other things took a lot of time that evening and there isn't time to address them or facts need to be developed or something, where a board member will move that we skip over items such and such on the agenda and not consider it this evening. And if the board agrees to do that, there's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to address something because it's on the agenda. The rule's the opposite. You can't discuss or take action on something if it's not on the agenda.
Excellent points. And I think that, you know, you outlined several things. It should be very good motivation for board members to know and recognize that if someone does challenge, you know, action that the board took that was not properly advertised, as I'll say, or posted on the agenda, that there are consequences that could be, you know, even up to and including criminal charges. So those are very important things. It highlights the seriousness of an agenda and what the legislature's intent was in, you know, enacting the Open Governmental Proceedings Act. You addressed about skipping items on the agenda. I know that parliamentarians are really, you know, they really get into exactly all the details, but boards do operate under rules and their procedures to follow if you want to, you know, postpone something, put it on the next agenda. So, you know, as opposed to just skipping an item on the agenda, the school board could take other action to postpone that indefinitely or postpone it to a specific meeting. Is that right? I mean, as far as your
sure.
agenda. Yeah.
Sure. You could simply, someone could make a motion that we not address items such and such on the agenda and maybe even say what it is this evening. You don't have to give a reason, but you might say, because I don't think we have the time remaining this evening to adequately address it. So I move that we not address it this evening and instead it be placed on the agenda for future meeting. And if that motion is adopted, then so be it. There's another point here, too. It's kind of related to that. The Ethics Commission in West Virginia, it was directed by the legislature to establish an open meetings committee. And the Open Meetings Committee's sole purpose is to give advice to public bodies about issues that arise under the open meetings law. And they have been asked in years past whether if something's on the agenda in a particular order, can we change the order of items on the agenda and address some things that appear on the printed agenda down at the bottom? Maybe somebody was going to make a report at the meeting, late in the meeting, but they've got a schedule problem that's come up and they want to be in and out early. Can we move that up and take that out of order on the agenda? And the Open Meetings Committee has advised, yes, you can. You're not adding something to the agenda that wasn't there. You're just taking it out of order. The public's already been notified that you may discuss or take action on this matter. So the fact that you move it up to the beginning of the meeting instead of at the end of the meeting isn't a problem under the open meetings law, according to that committee.
And that makes perfect sense. And it is a good practical approach for boards to remember. You mentioned something, I've seen it as well. We didn't do it in Wayne County, but the motion at the beginning to approve the agenda, I've seen that quite a bit. And then also seen boards take action to rearrange the items on the agenda. At the very beginning, they'll say, hey, we're going to move this or move that, we have a motion in a second. So, you know, those things are probably good for public perception to recognize that we're changing something that we advertised, but, you know, here's how it's going to happen. And we want to make sure everybody knows that we're still going to cover the items that are listed. And if you skip an item or don't have time to address an item, you mentioned that can come up on a later agenda. And the board just needs to, you know, to recognize that and act accordingly. You know, a lot of agendas, they're not necessarily required, but, you know, a lot of agendas, county board will have sections for board member comments, for the good of the order, board member reports. You know, can I bring up an item I would like to have placed on a future county board agenda when, during the board member comments or similar sessions, that the item's not on the agenda? You know, can I bring that up? And we've been told an item cannot be added to the agenda during these meetings. But if the county board president or county superintendent will not place the item on the agenda, even if it comes up during this comment or discussion session, is there any recourse that board member might have?
That's part of a broader question. And you know, some boards, most boards, I think, have a portion of their agenda where they allow delegations from the public to appear and address the board, or they'll call it public comment. It'll appear right on the agenda, you know, delegation or public comment. And some boards, as you point out, have a similar item for board member reports or board member comments. Those have been viewed by the Open Meetings Committee and by those of us who think about that as permissible items on the agenda if all that the board is going to do is sit there and listen to what the public wishes to tell them on any topic. The public isn't limited by what's on the agenda. They, during a delegation or a public comment period, they can bring things to the attention of the board that they wish the board would address. The board member in their comment or their report could do the same thing. The board can listen to that, but if it's not already, if that particular item isn't on the agenda, they can't discuss the substance of it among themselves at the meeting, and they can't take any action. If it's not something, and sometimes people do make comments about things that are already on the agenda. The public wants to influence what the board does with this agenda item later in the meeting, or the board member might be saying something along those lines. But to the extent they bring up something like you're talking about that really isn't on the agenda, if the agenda has said board member comments, public comments, that's fine. You sit and listen, but you can take no action except in two respects, according to this Open Meeting Committee interpretation, interpretations as I understand them. One would be that individual board members could ask questions of the speaker to, if they need to clarify what it is the person is saying. So someone gets up and thinks, I think they need to do something with the high school, the roof's leaking, there's asbestos, and so forth. A question might be, which high school are you talking about? So you're clarifying what it is the person is saying. You're not asking them about the merits of the matter. You're not kind of stating a position on it, knowing that the other board members are listening. You can't do that. It's not on the agenda. But you can engage in a dialogue with a member of the public or a board member that's making a report if what they're saying isn't clear to you and you want to better understand what they're saying. The other respect in which the board can interact with the speaker in those situations or with what the speaker's saying is to say, I hear what you're saying about the roof of the high school. It's not on our agenda this evening, so we're not able to really discuss it among ourselves here. I'm sure the superintendent has heard what you said and may look into it. I would like to move, Madam President, that this item be placed on the agenda of our next regular meeting so that we can entertain a report from the superintendent on what he or she has learned looking into this and any recommended board action. So you're allowed to make a motion and pass it to put this item that the board member brought up in their report that wasn't on the agenda, or someone in the public brought up that wasn't on the agenda. You can make a motion and adopt it to put it on the agenda of a future meeting.
Very good points. You know, one thing, and it really it was encompassed in what you just said and what you've said earlier, those delegation segments where members of the public come in, sometimes members of the public come in and think it's their opportunity to question the board and to spur discussion about whatever the point of concern they are. And that's kind of a misconception. That's very important not to do that. And secondly, when board members have a board member comment section, that it's about a board member who wishes to make a comment about a particular item. Because in both of those scenarios, you can see where if it's a hot topic, especially multiple board members all of a sudden start chiming in or really discussing the topic the member of the public has brought up or the topic that the board members commented on. And before you know it, you're engaging in a discussion which will be construed as deliberating towards making a decision on a matter that's not on the agenda. So it's kind of a snowball effect. So it's really best. Your tips and advice there, why you listen and don't really engage in those areas because those items aren't on the agenda and they could be on a future agenda through your process and protocols, but it's sometimes hard to avoid that engagement, but it's very important because you can end up violating the Open Governmental Proceedings Act. So
you make a real good point. You know, as a board member, when the citizen says the roof's falling in at the high school and it's asbestos, you might be tempted to say, to turn to the superintendent and say, "Superintendent, tell us, is this happening? Do you know about this? Have you done anything about it?" But that sort of a discussion of the merits of the matter is inappropriate if it isn't already on the agenda. It's something that can be talked about one-on-one with the superintendent outside of the meeting. A board member could talk to them about it, or it's something that could be put on the agenda of another meeting. And on that point, we talked about how things get on the agenda, whether things should be on the agenda. Board members individually have the ability to talk to the superintendent or talk to the president of the board and to say, you know, I see the draft agenda or I see the agenda. I don't understand why this is on the agenda. I think we need to postpone this. Would you consider, you know, maybe amending the agenda? Or I don't see my pet project on the agenda. Would you? There's nothing wrong with asking questions about what you see on the agenda in advance of the meeting, one-on-one with the superintendent or with the board president. And lots of times we can clear up a lot of misconceptions that way.
Well, all very good information, Howard. Thank you so much for helping us to answer some of the, you know, the questions we get that lead to some confusion sometimes by various, you know, administrators or board members regarding agendas. You know, many counties have policies and procedures in place to help clarify how an agenda is developed and what can be included on the agenda and how to request items for future agendas. But many counties don't have those policies. So these are some really good tips and points for our listeners to take heed with. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, you know, we do get a lot of questions from administrators, you know, education professionals, and others about what county board meeting agendas, you know, what are they and kind of what are the rules about them and things like that. So it is a pretty common, you know, topic that we get questions on, and I appreciate you for clarifying some of those issues today.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Like you say, this is a topic that we, as school board attorneys, are frequently asked about, not just what's on the agenda, but how it can be changed, when it has to be posted, how we handle comments like those we've talked about from board members and members of the public. When you think about it, as a school board member, this is at the heart of your work. I mean, your work as a school board member, despite all the meetings you have and places you go and people you talk to, is at a board meeting. It's the official actions that the Board of Education takes. And this agenda is critical to defining what those items are that you're going to act on. So it's not something that just should be an automatic pilot and disregarded. Instead, it should be seen as the blueprint for doing your work as a school board member.
Yeah, and I always, you know, although I was probably overthinking it, but I always tried to make sure that we crafted the agenda items to show that there had been no decision made, like it would be consider approval of or consider, you know, things of that nature. Instead of, you know, sometimes agendas read, it almost appears to be, you know, here's what our foregone decision is, so let's make it formal, or, you know, it's preliminary decision, let's make it formal. And I think that, you know, we kind of forget, because it's the normal course of business for us in those positions, that the public, you know, that may be their only experience with even seeing an agenda, and that's their only advertisement about what's going to be covered. And you don't really want to telegraph to the public that decisions have been made, because they haven't and shouldn't have been made. And so we would even choose language that would just show that we're going to take up this item or consider this item, as opposed to approve it in advance type thing. So but anyway, obviously we could just kind of take things down that talk for hours on agendas. We love doing that. But thank you again, Howard. And to our listeners, be sure and join us for another episode of the West Virginia EduCast, where we discuss interesting topics that are relevant to education law. You know, at this time, we're releasing these once a month, and we may increase that down the line. But we encourage you to join us for our episodes at the beginning of each month on these very, very interesting and relevant topics. Until then, I'm Trey Marone, and this is the West Virginia EduCast. Thank you for taking a listen.